Oh, we're back. You're listening to Left Out on WRCT-FM. You're welcome to call us at 412-621-9728 or 89728 on campus, or send electronic mail to bob@leftout.info. For our next topic today, we wanted to talk about a new book that just came out by a writer named Thomas Frank. And the name of the book is What's the Matter with Kansas? How Conservatives Won the Heart of America. And it's a very interesting book. I have to say that Frank is a particularly witty and witty writer, a very, very good writer, very fluid writer. And he is a native Kansan who now lives in Chicago. Who is writing about the American political scene in the last, let us say, 25 years approximately, something like this, as viewed from the point of view of Kansas politics, which, as we know, in many ways is somehow regarded as kind of neutral mainstream America, you know, the American heartland and all of that. And he uses Kansas politics to describe a bunch of trends in the U.S. So the interesting thing about this book, apart from being a lot of fun to read, as I said, he's a very, very good writer. His overall point is he's asking the question, you know, how is it that we can have a situation like this? And I'll read briefly from his book. He's talking about the imagery of two Americas that we've heard a lot about lately, the red states and the blue states and so forth. And here's a quotation from his book. Here's a quote from I'll begin now. Rural America is pissed, a small-town Pennsylvania man told a reporter from Newsweek in 2001. Explaining why he and his neighbors voted for George Bush, he said, "These people are tired of moral decay. They're tired of everything being wonderful on Wall Street and terrible on Main Street." End of quote. Thomas Frank goes on to say, let me repeat that. They're voting Republican in order to get even with Wall Street. So the question about this book is, how is it possible that people throughout the country are voting Republican in order to get back at Wall Street? Or more broadly, asking the question, how is it that people seem to be voting against their economic interests by voting Republican? People who are poor people, poor working class people, doing things like working their tails off, you know, every weekend to try to do away with public schools. You know, someone with two or three kids and making $30,000 a year and barely eking it out wants to do away with public schools. How is this possible? How is this possible? So the book is essentially the rise of what we call the principle that values matter most, and how that has affected American politics. So there's an interesting. He refers to the whole thing as as the backlash, the great backlash, which in many ways started with Richard Nixon, but really got ahead of steam with Ronald Reagan. So here's another little excerpt from Thomas Frank's book. One point that he makes frequently is this. He says, in fact, backlash leaders systematically downplay the politics of economics. The movement's basic premise is that culture outweighs economics as a matter of public concern, that values matter most, as one backslash title has it. On those grounds, it rallies citizens who once have been a reliable partisans of the New Deal to the standard of conservatism. Old-fashioned values may count when conservatives appear in the stump, but once conservatives are in office, the only old-fashioned situation they care to revive is an economic regimen of low wages and lax regulations. Over the last three decades, they've smashed the welfare state, reduced the tax burden on corporations and the wealthy, and generally facilitated the country's return to a 19th century pattern of wealth distribution. Thus, the primary contradiction to the backlash. It's a working class movement that has done incalculable historic harm to working class people. This is vexing for observers that this happens, and one might expect it. I skipped a passage over here. One thing he talks about, though, is that the grandstanding leaders of the backlash movement never deliver on their promises. Their fury, as Frank goes on to say, their fury mounts and mounts, and nevertheless, they turn out every 2 years to return their right-wing heroes to office for a second and third and 20th try. The trick never ages. The illusion never wears off. Vote to stop abortion. Receive a rollback in capital gains taxes. Vote to make the country strong again. Receive a deindustrialization. Vote to screw those politically correct college professors. Receive electricity deregulation. Vote to get government off our backs. Receive conglomeration and monopoly everywhere from media to meatpacking. Vote to stand tall against terrorists. Receive Social Security privatization. Vote to strike a blow against elitism. Receive a social order in which wealth is more concentrated than ever before in our lifetimes, in which workers have been stripped of power and CEOs are rewarded in a manner beyond imagining. So this is a little, these little excerpts tell you a lot about what this book is about. It's an analysis of how it is. How is this possible? Year after year after year, you hear the Limbaughs and the O'Leary's and all these other characters and the Hannity's and so on the radio and on television ranting and raving about the nature of the country, going on and on and on about values, except that they control the Congress, they control the Senate, they control the White House, they control the majority of the government ships, they control the majority of the state legislatures. So who is responsible for this? And why is it that that nothing is ever done about it? Well, why is it nothing ever done about it? Because this is the most effective hammer that they've ever devised for ramming through Reagan-esque policies that benefit the rich and doing it with the while people who are being screwed by it are championing them. Going, this goes back to the idea of the Reagan Democrats, the working class guy, like my father, for example, who are just proudly in favor of Ronald Reagan, who is screwing them over at every turn. It's absolutely amazing. So that was 25 years ago or 20 years ago, but it continues to this day. Of any relevance in political matters whatsoever. Right. Why? Because those are the real reasons why the country is the way it is.
So you just sort of relegate.
What you do
the
is you blame process. You blame the liberal elite, right? You blame the liberal elite. Those are the ones who are, you know, foisting off on you, all sorts of injustices and forcing you to, you know, making television the way it is and so forth. Except that it's not the liberal elite that is controlling these televisions; it's the large corporations who are benefiting from the Republican policies. But that whole discussion is completely absent. Only kooks like, you know, Noam Chomsky would be out there pointing out that, you know, look who owns these things. That's he, you know, the person who owns them is the one who's calling the shots. And, you know, what's really going on here? The Republicans control everything. They control the media. They control the state houses I've enumerated earlier. And yet somehow it's all because of that liberal elite.
Yeah.
So they have this sort of favorite boogeyman. And so it's really quite amazing.
Yeah,
and
but then, since they have control of the media.
And you get the chimpanzees of the right, like, you know, like Rush Limbaugh.
Right, but those guys have so much power.
They have
Rush Limbaughs and the O'Reilly's and all those
people.
But
see, they spend their day ranting and raving about these cultural values, okay?
Yeah.
But there's no discussion of just simple economics and who's
where
benefiting
the money
from
is going.
What. Follow the money, right? And so really, a big part of Frank's point is this, the manipulation of the media and the way these things are controlled because the Republicans and they're in their interest control so much through the country. And the other is just a longstanding tradition in the U.S. of anti-intellectualism. And so he comes to back to discussing anti-intellectualism, particularly as played out in Kansas. So, for example, famously, they a few years ago decided to try to get rid of teaching evolution and biology classes.
Was that in Kansas?
That was in Kansas.
Okay.
Most recently, that was in Kansas. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was around, I think, around 5, 6, 7 years ago. They've since rescinded it, but it made Kansas the laughingstock of the entire world. And, of course, he points out the irony of this is because speaking as a Kansas, he says, you know, like the thing that Kansans are always afraid of is being kind of portrayed as the rube. And then
this was the perfect
and here they are
example.
You know playing right up to it by like trying to eliminate teaching of the principle of evolution in biology classes and science classes in Kansas schools, which is really going to do everyone a lot of good. And he also goes on about the influence of the Kansas has long been a home for various kinds of religious movements, and these days is no different at all. He has a chapter in here called God and Mammon, and it's very interesting to see how these shysters like what is his name in Texas there, Pat Robertson.
Uh-huh.
He's not a Kansan, but his ilk, you know, who are really, you know, money-grubbing connivers who are pretending to be, you know, men of the cloth and being pious Christians, which is absolutely risible. So he talks about all of these things as well. So I really recommend to our listeners that you take a look at this book, What's the Matter with Kansas? It was reviewed in the New York Times Book Review this weekend. It was reviewed in The Nation, and I'm sure there are many reviews you can find on the web. The review in The New York Times was more or less saying, well, Thomas Franks' view is that, you know, economics should be factoring in people's political decisions much more than it is, rather than values. The reviewer seemed to think that that was a questionable principle.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, okay, fair enough. If you think that, you know, poor people should be, you know, ignoring their economic interests and campaigning against public schools on the grounds that they're run by the government, then, well, so be it. Well, thank you. That completes another Left Out. Thank you to Alexander Denmarsh for joining us.
Thanks again.
Thanks for Jay Thurber for producing, and we'll be back in 2 weeks.